And in the chaos of last week's coup against Malcolm Turnbull, one of the unintended victims was Deputy Leader and Foreign Affairs Minister Julie Bishop. The veteran Liberal Party politician was a highly respected on both sides of Parliament and has created strong relationships with leaders all around the world. But now Bishop is gone and Senator Maurice Payne is taking over the foreign affairs portfolio, and the Morrison government faces the challenge of establishing a foreign policy on the run. To discuss this foreign policy after Julie Bishop, I'm joined now by Dr. Susan Harris-Rimmer, Associate Professor at Griffith University Law School. Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me, Sam.
So, Susan, what was your initial reaction to that lib spill and the Bishop's resignation?
Well, I think, like everybody, I was appalled, shocked, stunned, and somewhat disbelieving that anyone could have watched the Gillard Rudd years and brought that upon themselves yet again. But I suppose as a foreign policy person, all I could think of was, oh, gosh, you know, foreign policy is exceptionally difficult at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And even a very skilled and well-briefed person who's had a long time in the portfolio is finding it very difficult. I mean, Julie Bishop made a really interesting speech in Britain just recently where she said, basically, who knows what's going on? You know,
yeah.
who can
follow
what
is happening? Very volatile current affairs around the world at the moment.
Extremely volatile. And big issues, you know, you can't necessarily always rely on the American alliance in the way you used to be able to when it comes to trade, you know, so we nearly got slapped with steel tariffs and, you know, Brexit is happening in the UK. We're in the middle of two big trade agreements, one with the EU and one with Indonesia. And the meeting with Indonesia was meant to happen last week. So, you know, they thought they would be seeing Turnbull, and instead.
So you know, Julie Bishop's about as close to sort of a veteran, you know, a minister as we can get these days. You know, what's the legacy she's leaving behind in this foreign affairs office?
I mean, she was quite a, you know, a lot of my colleagues don't like that she didn't come up with like big grand kind of concepts like Gareth Evans or others. But I think there's a lot to be said for just a hardworking, consistent foreign minister who just was, you know, relatively, you know, just relied on her department, you know, was well briefed, took the briefs. You know, it was a very professional effort. Definitely her legacy will be the new Colombo plan, which I really hope that Labor keeps. So this idea of Australians...
Sorry, when you say Labor, you mean the new government?
If Labor takes office, because they've previously said they would drop the new Colombo
plan. Okay.
But I think it's been so successful, I hope they reconsider that. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it would appeal to someone like Penny Wong in particular, because her father was a Colombo plan scholar. So I think that they should keep that. And I think there's, you know, now a really considerable group of young Australian people who've had really excellent experiences in the region, so I hope we keep that up. But also her advocacy on behalf of the Malaysian Airlines victims. And, you know, she stood up to Putin on many occasions, and, you know, that's not to be taken lightly in diplomatic circles.
Well, you know, a lot of world leaders haven't done that, so, you know, it's pretty impressive.
It's impressive. I also think what might not be so visible, she's done quite a lot of work inside the department. So, you know, with five new posts, the first female secretary in Frances Adamson, which is a great appointment, the first gender strategy and the first women in leadership strategy. You know, a lot of inclusion happening in the department that's still quite new, and I presume Maurice Payne very much...
Well,
Maurice Payne will follow that up.
Well, you know, speaking of Maurice Payne, she's been in government for more than two decades, so she's, you know, experienced in at least government herself. What does she bring to the foreign affairs portfolio, and what are the sort of immediate challenges that she's facing?
It's the best of all possible worlds that if you had to lose Julie Bishop, you would replace her with Maurice Payne. And it was obviously Julie Bishop's recommendation that that happen. Not only has she done a lot of joint missions with Julie as defence minister, she's always been interested in foreign affairs. And she's just a really hardworking and professional person as well.
So very much in the same mold.
Yes, although, I mean, Maurice Payne is a feminist, is clear about it, has a strong human rights record. So I'm hoping she'll be slightly stronger on human rights issues than Julie Bishop was.
And over the past decade, Canberra has become, you know, sort of a coup capital of sorts. Even though we don't have really as much of a leader-centered, you know, sort of government as somewhere like the U.S., how does having the reputation, you know, of constantly changing leaders affect our relationship with other nations?
It does make us look incredibly volatile and strange, especially because a lot of the leadership spills are not for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
They're for personality reasons rather than policy reasons. And so I think the rest of the world just thinks our system is in turmoil. In fact, you can kind of remove the leader of the party without too much structural damage to our democracy. But even so, a lot of foreign affairs now is highly personalised in terms of diplomacy. So if you look at Modi from India, Putin himself, Duterte, Trump, they have very personal styles, and that personal relationship with another leader is important to them. So this constant churn means that we just have not been able to maintain good relationships with other leaders, and it makes us look foolish.
Yeah.
Which is not what we want.
Makes us feel a bit foolish, too.
Yeah, it
does. And, it, you know, it sort of looks like the Morrison government may have trouble surviving the next general election. How can a government establish a meaningful foreign policy knowing that they'll probably be replaced in 9 months' time?
Well, I think, in retrospect, the Foreign Policy White Paper was an important legacy for Julie Bishop in the sense that at least the directions are all clear and the general settings have been agreed, and the foreign policy setting should just flow regardless of the change in minister.
So not as much cooking up a new plan as following what they already had in place.
Yes. Okay. That part is good, and thank God for the white paper. But, I mean, it must be frustrating. The Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade has also had some pretty horrible cuts, particularly to the aid program. So they're already dealing with more difficulty than they should.
Okay, well, thank you.
To constantly brief a new person cannot be easy.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for coming on this morning and filling us in with what's going on, and have a great day.
So, thank you so much. Bye.
Absolutely. That was Dr. Susan Harris-Rimmer, Associate Professor at Griffith University Law School, filling us in on sort of where foreign policy might be going with Julie Bishop's resignation and Maurice Payne taking over the office.